Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Crew Talk with Kate P. I started this podcast last year when we were shut down during the pandemic, which I guess we're still in a pandemic, but it has been over a year since I've recorded an episode, and I figured what better time than now when we are living in another crisis. So I had my dear friend Sammy Gonzalez on the podcast. She's going to be my first guest. She is a salon owner just like me, and she has been in the industry probably double the amount of time that I have. She is just killing it. I literally could not do this business thing without her. She is like my lifeline, and I just can't wait for y'all to hear her talk and hear us just go off about all the things right now. So stay tuned and give us a little listen. Give us a shout out if you enjoyed this episode. We're bringing back Crew Talk for a special episode with one of my dearest friends, Sammy. She is the salon. We have been friends for how long has it been? Is it three years?
Probably or two? About three. Two and a half, three. Oh, yeah. It feels like a long time, honestly.
I know, it feels like forever. So yeah, we're just here to talk about all the dirty deeds of being business owners and basically how the past 2 years have been an interesting time, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been wild. Super wild.
It's been, yeah, I don't even, like, have words for it because I'm just, like, here we go again, like, the whole situation. So, basically, right now, at the time of this recording, it's been a week since Hurricane Ida hit the Gulf Coast, mostly in lower Louisiana. We were both pretty with our businesses and homes that, you know, we're doing pretty good. I mean, Sammy's salon probably got hit the worst out of our things, I would say.
Yeah.
A little roof damage situation, but still nothing catastrophic like some other areas. So we're dealing with that. We haven't worked in – I worked last Friday. When did you work last?
It was last Saturday. I actually did work Saturday. The girls didn't work, but I definitely did.
Yeah, so I left, like, Friday afternoon. I was actually supposed to be off Saturday, though. So I really have only missed, like, so I was off Saturday, and then I wouldn't have gone back to work until Wednesday. So I really only missed, like, 3 days of work.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow is Labor Day, so I'm supposed to be off. Were you supposed to be off?
Yeah. You don't work. I'm typically off Sunday, Mondays anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So it hasn't been too horrible. I keep saying, like, if we made it through shutdown, then we can make it through this.
Yeah. I think honestly, this is a breeze. But because we kind of know how these typically work, whereas, like, with COVID, with that shutdown, it was like, okay, what? Now what? What do we do? You know? Whereas, like, for this, we're kind of like, yeah, okay. We know we're going to be shut down for some time. If it's really bad, we know it's going to be probably a long time. Honestly, this time was probably, honestly, not really expected because this kind of hit us harder than what many of us kind of thought. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, and I feel like it just came out of nowhere.
It really did. It was like, oh, there's a disturbance. Oh, actually, now it's a hurricane. Oh, actually, now it's going to be a really, really bad hurricane.
Yeah, so no, I think I literally, like, Thursday night was like, oh yeah. we gotta there's a hurricane, like, I need to look at this. And then Friday morning I was like, we gotta go. Can't stay here. I literally woke up Friday morning, like, and I had clients, and I canceled my first client because I was like shaking, like panicking, and I was like, I we gotta go, like, I gotta book something, like, I don't know. And so I had moved my first client because I was like, there's no way, like, I can pack everything, because I, with the kids and all, I was like, I am not sitting in traffic, like gridlock traffic, like everybody was going to be in. I'm like, the sooner we can leave, like, we gotta go.
Yeah
and then it was like, and then we're gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, typically for storms like this, though, we kind of know a little bit more ahead of time. But But because the storm was coming so fast, I think a lot of us didn't really expect it. And then also, like, the city of New Orleans, like, couldn't implement ContraFlow, what they typically would have done in an event like this to get more people out. So I think that, like, that kind of is where things kind of went a little crazy. But, I mean, good thing you were able to get out. I know a lot of people, like, stayed in traffic. Anybody that left probably Friday night, early Saturday morning, sat anywhere in traffic between 12 to 18 hours, which would typically, like, take a 4 to 6 hour trip. So it was wild from what I heard.
Yeah, I know someone who went to Houston like us. And, I mean, it still took us, I think it was, like, 8 hours to get to Houston. It should have been, like, 5.5.
Yeah.
But we got him stuck in, like, bad traffic in Baton Rouge. But, like, Scott's aunt was coming from here to Houston the next day, and it took her 21 hours. Like, something, like, insane. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm like, what were you doing? Like, I don't even understand, like, how that's possible. But, yeah, no, I hate being in the car. Like, I do not do car rides. Like, road trips, no, absolutely not. Like, I'm getting on an airplane. So this was, like, miserable.
We are, like, identical when it comes to that. And that's the reason why we ended up staying. And that's, like,
why, that's why you were here.
Yeah. That was, like, I am not going in the car for that long. I can't even be in the car for 30 minutes with somebody else, Casey. Like, I literally am literally panicking.
No, so me either.
I already know. I'll panic at home before I panic in the car.
I'll just not have electricity for a week and be at home. It's fine.
Oh my gosh.
Because you still don't have electricity.
I still
don't.
I'm sitting in a dark closet right now.
Okay, so Sammy doesn't have electricity at her house and no electricity at the salon. Somehow, by the grace of God, I have electricity at my house and the salon. So someone's doing us dirty here. Like, we could have given you one. And
yeah,
like,
for real.
I mean, come on. I would gladly give away one so you could have power somewhere. I mean, thanks. God.
It's, yeah. I've tried to manage, you know, I've learned to.
I think you're doing.
To adapt.
Really well. Much better than I would be doing. So, God, I can't. I think it's coming. It's coming soon. I feel it in my bones. It's coming for you.
I hope so. I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me here? I told the girls, because we're always fighting about the AC in the salon. And so I was like, oh, my God, I don't think I'm ever going to complain about it being too cold in the salon anymore, like, ever. And the girls are like, we have this in writing. Like,
literally. Do they have power?
No. Actually, no. Nobody. None of the girls do.
Oh, my God. I think one, definitely one has power. No, two of them have power. But neither one. Okay, let me take that back. It's their parents have power at their actual places they stay. They don't have power, but, like, it still counts.
Yeah,
they're like young, you know, so they can go stay at their parents and it's, like, basically their home. So, you know,
I think I know more people that don't have power right now than do have power.
Oh, I would agree for sure.
So I think it's like, are we day 7? Yeah, we're day 7 today.
Yeah,
that's so full week of no power.
Insane. So my sister she's staying at my house now. They just got home and she just discovered they have mold all in her house.
Shut up. Are you
so
serious?
Like her home gym? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, she's pissed.
I think a lot of people are finding, like, they're like, oh, it's just one room, and then it's like, actually it's not just one room. It's crazy how fast that stuff grows. And I was telling Alfonso, because yesterday, like, you know, we've been waiting for our trash to get picked up for forever. And if I don't know, Casey, if you went through Katrina or what y'all did, I know I'm a little older than you, but I don't think that much, but there's like this certain smell that you just never forget. It's like old trash mixed with like a wet mop mixed with like the worst smell ever. And it's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's.
Yeah,
it's thankfully in our neighborhood doesn't smell like that yet, but I know it's coming.
Mine is bad. Like, well, they were like supposed to come pick it up and they didn't. So let's talk about last year. So my salon opened in January and then 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, somewhere in between there, we shut down. You signed your lease, what, like right before the shutdown?
Sister, okay, let me just tell you this. The shutdown happened in March. I was supposed to sign my lease mid-March, and I begged and pleaded, can we please push it back? Because it was, like, no telling. It was supposed to be 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks turned into a month. He only let me push it back till April 15th. We were shut down up until
it was May 15th, March to I think. May. Yeah, like it was 8 weeks.
It was. And so, honestly, I took a major leap of faith because obviously there was no income coming in. And because I was supposed to be working in the midst of the transition, I put a lot of my savings already into everything that we kind of needed for the salon. So I get shut down. I have no income. My husband fortunately was able to work, but I also had to take care of a rent for a new space and then also finish off my lease because my lease wasn't finished at the suites. So it was crazy, crazy stressful, but it was one of those things that I was like, I'm either going to go all in and say that I tried or not. And I just chose to just take a chance and try. And I've been like forever grateful ever since then. I mean, it's been hard. It's definitely, it was not rainbows and sunshine. I could not see the light at the end of the tunnel. That was probably the darkest 8 weeks. And I've always felt like I've been someone who always tried to see the light in things, try to make things positive and be optimistic. But that time period really was dark because I just really had a hard time seeing things through. But I tried really hard to keep faith. And honestly, at this point, looking back, it's like, wow, I totally should have just been like, all right, God, I know you got this. You know, you took me this far. You're going to take me through it. So right. Here we are.
So I think we experienced like shutdown in two different ways, like same but different, because for me, I totally agree. Like definitely darkest 8 weeks of my life. I have felt things I've never felt before during that time. Like actually, like when I did the last, like we'll say season of this podcast that I did was when we were shut down, and like I can't even like bring myself to listen to it because I just know it's like I was like rough. Like I don't even want to like hear my voice because it was like, I mean,
melancholic.
Like depressing. Like so for me, I feel like I guess I signed my lease October, November. I can't remember. So I feel like I worked so hard that period of time. Then the salon opened in January, and then like it was like so quickly like ripped away. Mm-hmm. Whereas like I guess you were taking a big leap of faith, but you were a little distracted too because you were able to like I guess do things, you know, to the new salon. Were you working on it
during the shutdown? No, a lot of people thought that. A lot of people did think that, oh, well, great, you had so much time to, like, get things ready and get things together and yada, yada, yada. And it was like, actually, no, because I put spending resources on things. Like, I stopped it because I was like, I've got to whatever I have needs to be able to pay the rent. Like, I basically held off until the very last minute to finish getting everything else that we need to get when we knew we were going to open. I was like, look, we can open. I just need chairs and like some shampoo and color. Like all the other fun stuff can come after. But thankfully, everything seemed to unfold perfectly at that time, whatever perfect was at that moment. But I really didn't. I think that I woke up and sat on the couch and literally just stayed there and was physically there, but not mentally there through the whole thing. Like I just was trying really hard to make sure I was just present for the kids. And I mean, that was a whole nother ball game, was trying to navigate the whole salon situation, but then all navigating between being a wife and a mom, make sure that your kids, number one, were doing all their schoolwork, wasn't falling behind, making things as normal, what normal could be at that moment, which was hard because, you know, you're afraid, you're fearful, you don't know what's going to happen. Nothing's open. You don't know what could happen, you know, so it was really nerve-wracking. And honestly, like during that time period, the highlight of our day was getting in the car and taking a ride into the city and dropping off deliveries of shampoo. I mean, that was really the highlight. Other than that, it was just very, very scary.
Yeah, I like specifically remember calling you because, so I'm 26, you're 31.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people my age don't, like, I feel like they're more so like starting their life. And I remember like calling you and being like, how do you like know who your friends are? Like, who do you turn to? Mm-hmm. I felt like nobody understood what I was going through, and nobody did. I mean, you did, you know, but nobody that I like have been friends with my whole life, like, they didn't understand. Family didn't really understand. Like, a lot of people were still working from home. Like, for us, like, for the whole salon industry, it was like, no, like, we literally could do nothing. Like, yeah, I was delivering shampoo and stuff. That's not what I want to fucking be doing every day, though. I'm in the business to do hair and talk to people and, like, not sit at home. And, like, it didn't help that, like, we weren't going anywhere either. Like, we literally were in our houses, like, all day. And then, you know, it sucks, too. I mean, you had employees at that point in time still, even though the salon wasn't open yet. You still had, you know, your two employees from the suite, so it's like you're worrying about them and like, what can I do for them? It was just that was an interesting thing to experience as a new business owner. I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So let's talk about this. So I was about to say, I know I wasn't a real business owner, but I always, you know, that's a but that's always like I wanted to ask you that. So what's your opinion like now that I have employees and like have a full blown brick and mortar, I guess, like, people work under me, I'm like, okay, like, now I'm a real business owner, when I really have been a business owner for what, 5 years?
Yeah.
But like, I don't feel like you truly get it until you have people who you're responsible for.
Yeah. I think that there's a difference. I think that there's like, there is someone who is a business owner, or let's just say like, you're a business owner, but you're self-employed. Well, consider self-employed too, but it's a little different when what your work, you only have yourself to depend on. And whether your business sinks or swims, it's all based upon you, which could be the same if you have employees as well. But I do think there's, it's hard on both ends, but there's a different appreciation and a little bit different of workload, I guess you can say, when you actually have people that you're responsible for. It does make it a lot different. I think for me, when I was in the suites and I was by myself, it was fun. It was great. It was wonderful to just kind of go in, go out. And that's beautiful for a lot of stylists. And that, I mean, just because you're your own person and you work for yourself and it's just you does not make you any less of a business owner from anyone else. Because sometimes a workload could be the same depending on how hard and how much you really want to drive your business forward. But when it comes to like having a team and a culture, and there's this like culture that really you're trying to keep, it makes things a little bit different. Whereas like the focus isn't like, okay, how can I continue to build my book? How can I continue to grow myself? To how can I get these girls to stay motivated? And how can I grow them? How can I keep them to like want to be a part of the family? It does change the dynamic a little bit. And your stress changes. It could be less, it could be more, but the stress definitely changes a bit.
Yeah, I think you have to be a little more like selfless when you're have employees, whereas when you're just self-employed, I mean, you can do whatever you want. I mean, it's all about you, you know. Whereas like now I'm more so, I don't want to say don't care what I'm doing, but it's more like I want more for them than I'm worried about for me, you know. I know you know how that is.
Yeah, I think like, because here's my thing too, it's like Carolina is a booth renter, but I don't want her to be just a booth renter. I want her to be a business within the salon. Like I always say, even commission stylists, you are your business owner. What you do behind the chair, you are that business. And so it's a, when we're talking about like the salon industry and the salon world, I think that it's important to realize that like we all are independent business people, whether you're, it doesn't matter how you get paid. The truth is like, that is what we do. We're building relationships with guests. We are finding a need and we're addressing it. We are, you know, essentially writing prescriptions of what it is that they need. We're doing everything the same way. Now, when it comes to workloads of different roles and positions within the industry, I think that that's a major difference. But I think that if we all stylists put in our mind, like in our mind frame or our set in our mind that we are business owners, whether you're a commissioned stylist, suite owner, whatever it is, hourly salary, if you put that in your mindset and you carry yourself as I am the professional, I am the business owner of what's behind my chair, I think that it would carry a lot of weight into elevating our industry, truthfully.
I definitely agree. I think, because it doesn't matter, like, if you're at a salon, even if you're at a salon that, I don't know, takes walk-ins every day, has call-ins, I personally just don't think that's sustainable. Like, you still have to market for yourself. You still have to, you have to put in some sort of work. Like, because eventually, like, someone is going to come into the salon that does do that, and those people are going to be requesting that person. Like,
absolutely.
That's just, like, the name of the game these days. Especially with social media and everything, like, oh God, I can't even, like, every time I'm looking for, like, something new, I don't know, like, going to get my nails done, I'm not looking for a new nail girl, but for example, I have to go look on Instagram. Like, if you don't have an Instagram, I'm not coming to you. That's just the way, like, I am. I think a lot of people are that way these days, especially, yeah, like, the younger generation.
Right.
I think that you can tell your friend, like, oh yeah, I get my hair done by Sammy and I love it and blah blah blah, and they're gonna still go look at your social media.
They absolutely are. And let me just say this, we actually had a client, and this is the proof here, and this is what I've told my girls all the time, you know, word of mouth is really honestly not the way that we market anymore. Word of mouth used to be huge when I started in the industry, and now it's like, oh, I love my stylist. The next thing that they say, they don't take their word for it anymore. They want to go see for themselves. They want to go see the work. They want to see who the person is. And I think that when the pandemic hit, what a lot of people were really wanting, connection. And I've noticed that a lot of people who are out there searching for stylists, nail techs, a lot of the relationship-based type of businesses, they're really trying to connect with the person. I've even seen this in, like, tattoo artists. They want to connect with the person. So if they're going and they say, oh, you know, I love my stylist, you need to check her out, they're going to go search you up. And if you really aren't, you know, present on social media or showing your work, like, majority of all of everyone in our industry, it's really going to end up hurting you in the long term.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, because I've been looking for someone to do a tattoo for me all through Instagram. I don't know what it is about the tattoo industry in this city, but, like, not very many active tattoo artists on Instagram. Okay, whatever. But, like, exactly what you just said about, like, connecting on a personal level. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, I got to sit here with this person for, like, 2 hours, maybe longer. I need to, like them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I need to know that we're going to, like, have something to talk about.
Well, and I think, too, like, especially when it comes to, like, a tattoo, if you have something of a work of art from someone else and they had, like, a shitty attitude, like, you're going to be like, damn, this sucks. And it's just, like, with stylists. Like, oh, my God, I loved my hair, but my stylist had the worst attitude. All she did was talk about herself. Like, we have nothing in common. A lot of times they might love their hair, but they won't come back, you know?
I agree. I preach this all the time. I've said this forever, even when it was just me. I've always said, someone, you can be okay at doing hair and be a great fucking person, be funny, entertain people. People are coming back to you over the person that is literally
absolutely
a perfectionist. Your hair is flawless, but, like, doesn't talk to you the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, just goes in the back and sits. Like, obviously, we have some clients that we're going to go in the back and, like, chill for a minute. But I'm talking, like, if you're not doing something extra for them, they don't give a shit. They're going to go to somebody else. We're in a city where there's so much talent. It's not hard to find a good hairdresser. And
oh, yeah.
I'm just going to say, it's not that hard to do hair. Personal opinion. I think anybody can learn to do hair. I think that people can't learn to be good people. And mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's like I always say, like, Hair by KP and Casey are two different people.
Like, yeah.
Because if you see me outside of work in the grocery store, I'm like turning the other way. I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, I am very, like, introverted. But behind the chair, it's like a totally different story. Like, I can talk to Ira for days. Like, I don't want to not talk, honestly, because then, like, I'm bored. Like, I need to be, like, chit-chatting. Yeah. I need to entertain myself. It's a long day, you know? But I've always, I definitely fully believe that. And I tell my girls that all the time. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, obviously you can't, like, suck at hair. You know what I mean? But, like, doing next to somebody who is, like, let's just say Instagram famous on social media. And, like, but how many times does this happen where I get somebody who says, oh, I went to so-and-so who's big on social media, and they were just, like, not doing it for me.
Yeah.
So, which is just, I think, why showing, like, your personality on social media is big now, too, because you don't want – people don't want to get there and figure out who you are, you know?
Yeah. They want to – they should get there and kind of already know what to expect and already have, like – you know, I love it when I have clients that sit in my chair and feel like they already know me, you know, just yeah, by
and they
just following on social media. And it shows, though, that they're doing their research and that whoever's sitting in my chair is truly my people. And I think for, like, a lot of stylists first starting out, they just want, like, butts in the chair. And I think that it's really important that maybe that might be okay for a very, very short term to get some experience and confidence. But in the long term, that's not sustainable. Like, you want to make sure that you are attracting people who, number one, who want to be in your chair, number two, who connect with you, because we have to spend time with each other, like you said, and you want to enjoy it. You don't want to dread seeing so-and-so because you just got, like, have nothing in common. It's not just about good hair anymore. It's really about connecting with people. And I think that's why, like, during the pandemic, it hit so many of us, like, creatives during that time, because that's what we feed on. We feed on the energy of people and who we come in contact with. And I've always said this, it's just so much more than hair. And so, you know, when you're trying to attract your dream client or whoever's going to sit in your chair, just keep in mind, be authentic, be who you are, be who you want others to, you know, already know about you when they come in.
Yeah, I think the days of, like, almost, this was, like, a big thing, kind of. So let's rewind for a second. So Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday last week, we both had a big, like, convention for a business business group that we're in, whatever we're going to call it. And there was a lot of big revelations. Sammy didn't get to, unfortunately, do it.
No.
Because she was roughing it
so
out.
So mad.
But I think another big thing that we're moving towards is, like, almost the days of, like, the perfect Instagram feed are gone. Like, the
mm-hmm. aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. Like now it's, like, the reels and, like, for me personally, like, within the past maybe month, I just don't care anymore about the aesthetic. I'm like, I want to pump out the content. I want to pump out, and I want to be, like, me being funny and, like, not be like, obviously I'm gonna post, like, a good hair picture, but I think a big thing that we're gonna see is almost, like, you kind of gotta be, like, an influencer, like a micro influencer nowadays.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it's gonna be, like, two pictures for yourself, two reels, whatever, for every hair picture. Like, the hair pictures are just not,
let's be honest, hair pictures never really had the biggest engagement.
No.
Unless you're an educator and there's context behind the photo, I think that it's different. And I think that's when it's really important to narrow down, like, who you're really talking to on your social media. And truthfully, from what I understood, Instagram is becoming more of a video platform. So they're going to be pushing out video more so than they are photos and content. Photos are easy. We scroll through it. Now, like, we're so addicted to TikTok and these short videos on any kind of platform, Snapchat, whatever, that now it's like that's what Instagram's starting to become. And so I think that it is going to be a lot kind of like a micro influencer. But I've always felt like businesses in themselves always typically have some sort of influence. So I think that it's great now, though, that people will see more of like the person behind the brand.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to get left behind with that movement.
Oh, they are. I've noticed people already getting left behind during COVID, especially a lot of stylists that never did jump on board when it came to social media marketing, because they were almost like non-existent. They were like not showing up.
It was like post on March 14th, not posting again till May 15th or whatever when we reopened. Yeah. And I'm like, where were you? Like, you didn't show up.
Well, and then be mad that none of their clients like stuck around or their business was struggling. Well, because they were sitting at home all day on Instagram realizing that their stylist was like, where she go? She like disappeared. And then want to come back like Houdini. And it's like, no, I've already kind of
literally the, like, because I will promise you, like, my clients, your clients, everybody's clients, you are not the only hairdresser they follow.
Mm-hmm.
So they see other people showing up in ways that you're not. And and I'm sorry, I don't care how long Susie Q's been coming to you. People are quick to move on. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a business. It's a business decision. Like,
absolutely. And there, that goes to another point in topic here, is that when a client or a guest decides to move to another stylist, like, stylists have to understand that, number one, we don't own that person. They are free to choose where they want to go and who they want to see. There is no, this is my client, you know, yada yada. Like, no, your client, they have the freedom to do that, and that's okay, because whenever one client leaves, three more come. And as long as you have a solid business structure, that's how it will happen. And truthfully, it's going to be really hard for you to just keep every single person. And sometimes it's really not you that they're leaving. It's sometimes they want fresh ideas. And so if you're really not offering your guests fresh ideas and saying, hey, like, is there something that you want to change? I know we've been doing the same color for like the last year. They may feel like the only way they can get change is by going to someone else, and or they may just be leaving because they don't feel a connection and they feel like they may have a connection somewhere else. And so I think if we start changing our perspective on sometimes it really isn't personal and we don't own people, and sometimes we have to like reflect on ourselves, you know, and kind of be like, all right, let me see. Is there something that I need to work on? You know, and that's okay.
I've never been the one to get like upset when someone leaves. I think I probably have had like maybe three or four clients that, like, you know, that client, they leave and you're like, wait, what? Like, you like really love them and you just like have absolutely no clue like what happened. I probably have had about like three or four of those, but I've just always had the opinion of like, it's cool. It is like, it is what it is, you know, like, I'm not mad. I'm still talk to you. Like, you know, if I see you out or whatever, I'm not going to ignore you. Like, it's just business. I mean,
well, and like, people's lives change, whether it's budgets, whether it's jobs, school, time, like a lot of factors go into it. It's not just about what you did or didn't do. Sometimes it's truly like on their side of the playing field. And so I think when you maintain a good relationship and you don't make things weird, if they ever felt like they were able to go back to you, they would. But once you, like, kind of make that situation kind of weird, then that's when it's like, now you for real lost someone.
For sure. And I think a big thing for me, like, the clients that I've had that have left that wind up coming back, I think the two biggest things are, like, my availability, like, just didn't work for them anymore at that point in time. And then for whatever reason, it winds up working again. Or budget. You know, I think that a lot of people will, like, start seeing me, like, maybe before go to school or whatever. Then they go to school, they don't have the money to get their hair, and then they graduate, and then they're back. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of. But I do surprisingly have quite a few people who will leave, and then all of a sudden it'll be like 2 years later and they're back, and I'm like, okay, hey girl, like, we just pick up, like
absolutely,
you know? I mean, and a lot of my clients, like, I'll follow, like, on my hair page and all, so I still keep up with their life and, you know, things like that. I mean, so I know what's going on. I mean, it is what it is. It's not something. I think the people who are, like, kind of possessive over their clients, like, have some sort of other insecurity that they have to figure out.
Absolutely. Truthfully, absolutely. But, you know, I think that when you become confident in what you do, now this is, I'm not saying cocky in any way, but confident in what you do and the service that, the level of service that you provide, when you know that you're hitting the points all the time and someone doesn't stick with you or they don't stay, it hits different, because then you know, okay, I've done absolutely everything that I can for this person, but whatever reason, we're just not connecting. It's totally okay. But when you don't have that and you're kind of like, well, what could I have done? What could I did? Like this, that, that. Then that's kind of when you have to really reevaluate and kind of go through things. And sometimes, like, you need to have situations like that to really be able to grow and learn from them. And we've had it. It happens to everyone. And you can either beat yourself up for it, be mad at the other stylist, be mad at the client, or you can really, like, go back, reflect, and just grow and move on from it.
Yeah, 100%. I think the worst, the worst thing is when you see another stylist, like, post a picture of your client and you're like, oh, okay, I guess she's not coming back. I've definitely had that happen to me before. And I'm like, oh, good. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that's where she went.
It happens to all of us, in all seriousness. I don't think there's not one person that has not happened to, and that's okay. Totally.
And you're just like, I'm gonna double tap that bitch, and we're gonna, okay, there we go, we're gonna move on from that. So last thing we're gonna talk about is, how do you feel like, so we've been through two, like, big major, a natural disaster, a pandemic. I guess we're still technically in a pandemic. Yeah. How do you, so, like, for New Orleans, for the whole world, because that's, how do you feel like things have changed, one, with the pandemic for hair, and how do you feel like things, because I feel like things will change a little bit with, even with the hurricane. I think people are realizing things. Opinion on that, and then
so first and foremost, I'm gonna say this because I've literally told every client, I just want 1 year. God, I'm just asking for 1 year without pandemics, natural disasters, or any type of other disruptions. Because
like, as a business owner, how do you even how do you even, like, predict, like, we haven't had a normal year of business yet to even, like, project for the future.
No, I mean, not at all. Like, it's just wild. So, okay. Now I've said that. It's gotten it off my chest. But I think the difference is, like I said before, like, with the pandemic, I think that clients are wanting that connection. They're wanting to know more of the person who's leaving their piece of art on their hair, more so than, I just want this color and that's it. Things have become a lot more emotional in this last year. I feel like things have become a lot heavier in the last year. You know, I think that especially with some people feeling just the burden of life, things going on, things have been really, you know, divided, and a lot of things have become just wild with politics. Like, I think that they're trying to find a space to unload. And so a lot of people may or may not have the time, the resources, whatever, to go see a therapist or they just don't want to. And so in a sense, they're wanting to connect with whoever is doing their hair because they've got to spend 2 hours with us. And so I feel like there's some unloading when it comes to that. So I think as a stylist, we've kind of need to prepare ourselves on when to just kind of listen. And sometimes we don't need to respond when clients are kind of unloading. Sometimes it's just to listen. And then sometimes it's just to give a little glimmer of light to someone. And I think that that's really where people are looking. And they may not or may – they may not or they may love their hair, but I think that it's – the way that they feel when they leave is more of an impact than what the hair is about right now. Now, fast forwarding to the storm and the impacts of that, what I know, because I've been in the industry a little bit longer, I came in right after Katrina. And I remember in that time period talking to the stylists that kind of went through that. There was a time period where things kind of got a lot slower for us because people don't have as much resources, whether they had insurance on their house or didn't. If they lost things, they're kind of prioritizing that versus like hair. It doesn't mean that they won't come, but I think that some services will be cut due to income. And just really, also, we may lose guests in our area only for the sake of relocating. Many people won't be able to come back because they don't have power or they may have lost everything and they don't want to come back. So I think that there is going to be a lot of change coming. So, I mean, we're just going to have to learn to pivot. We're going to learn how to shift. I mean, if anything, I think that we're the generation of stylists that are going to learn to adapt to anything coming our way. And if you're not business savvy or you haven't educated yourself in the business of what we do behind the chair, again, as an employee, salary, commission, whatever, booth rent, like, it's, you got to learn right now, because if not, you're really going to be left in the dust, because we've just got to learn to evolve as with time is going and what things are happening.
Definitely. I agree with all of that. I think I'm going to add in that I kind of feel just a little differently in after the storm. I think that people prioritize beauty, like, services so much more after COVID because they got so scared. I have had so many clients be like, I got to make sure all my appointments are made because I'm scared we're going to shut down again or something along the lines of that, that I think like people might have like PTSD of like, oh my God, the salons are shutting down. I don't. So like today I just sent out texts to all of our clients who were scheduled for the past week that got canceled and then scheduled for the next couple weeks. And it was like, are you like, do you want to keep your appointment? Whatever, you know? And we had a few who just wanted to cancel and reschedule when they can. But most people are like, no, I need to get my hair done. Like one option was like, I don't care what day or time, like, I need to get my hair done. So yeah. I think people are, especially if people don't have power and we're open, I think they will definitely want to come because they want to come somewhere with AC.
Yeah. No, I for sure agree with that, especially, like, after COVID. I think that that's when people really realize that hair was a lot more than just hair. Like I said, like, I think that people are just needing that outlet. And I think that people were like, I'm prioritizing my self-care now. For sure. And I want to say it will be the same after the storm. But I think that, number one.
Unless you, like, really got destroyed. I think our area is so, like.
Might be okay.
If we were in LaPlace, if we were in, you know, Lafitte, I mean, we wouldn't have salons probably still. But yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it would be a different story for sure. I think Absolutely. Even right in our area, the people who might not have power, they're probably just going to reschedule their appointments. But even me, myself, I'm like, oh my God, I look like a freaking wet dog 24/7. Like, I'm like, not cute. I need to get my eyebrows waxed. Like, I need to get my mustache waxed. I need like a tan. Like, I am like not cute right now. Like, so I'm like, immediately whenever everyone opens, I'm like, I got to get together. Like, this is not cute.
I totally feel that. I mean, I feel like Miss Trunchbull right now. Like, seriously.
You might look like Miss Trunchbull without that air conditioner.
Girl, you have no idea. Like, no idea. It's been so real. It's fine, though. I was like, maybe this will be me, like, shedding the calories. But I'm eating all the hurricane snacks. So that's not working out either.
Yeah. You're eating so much food. It's disgusting. I cannot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, on the pod. This is absolutely so fun. We definitely need to do it again.
We do. We do. I love our chats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I do. We could talk for hours, too, about all this stuff. So, all right, my friend. Well, here's to getting AC. Maybe, like, right when we hang up, will have it. I'm going to will it into your life.
All right. Thanks. I'll keep you posted if I do.
Okay. Bye, friend.
All right. Bye, girl.